Excellent. What a morning. So far, it's hard when you're speaking after a morning like this to sort of live up to what's gone before, but I'll do my best. It's one of those mornings that my mind just sort of is on overdrive, and everything seems related to what I want to say this morning. And I got to the stage there that I just had to say to the Lord, Lord, you better remind me of some of these things if I'm ever to remember them. I started by writing a few in with my notes, but now I give up. So let's pray before we start again. Lord, we just thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who promises to pour out your Spirit upon all people. And Lord, we are here as your people. And Lord, we thank you for pouring out your Spirit this morning. And Lord, pray that it would continue as I come to share the message this morning. And Lord, pray that you'd be glorified in the message. Lord, just with all the thoughts that I've had, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would bring them to my memory as need be. And Lord, help me to forget about them otherwise. For your name's sake and your glory this morning. Amen. I want to start off by letting you know what Sunday this is, because a very special Sunday this is. Bread and Cheese Day. So happy Bread and Cheese Day today. Maybe you didn't realise today was Bread and Cheese Day. I don't know whether Denise might have known. No, apparently in Gloucester, if you live in Gloucestershire, I know it's not too far from, well, far enough. Today's Bread and Cheese Day anyway. It's always on Whit Sunday, which is another, let me see that, there's funny noises, isn't it? I think we need new batteries, Sally. Yeah, that's good. Whit Sunday today, which is Pentecost, and it's wonderful. Seven weeks after Easter, we celebrate Whit Sunday. We celebrate Day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came upon God's people in after the resurrection. I just thought I would share a few sort of ideas of where this all comes from. It's always good for us to see the whole way God has worked right from creation right through, and how his plan is just so beautiful and so perfect. Because the day of Pentecost wasn't always about the Holy Spirit, because it was a day in the Jewish calendar, a very important day in the Jewish calendar, Shavuot. I'm sure that's not how to pronounce it. Shavuot. Is that it? Is that better? Shavuot! That sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds as though I know what I'm talking about. It happened 50 days after Passover. And that goes right back to the days of Moses. Because after the children of Israel had ate the Passover in Egypt and then were delivered out of Egypt, it was 50 days after that, but then God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And it's those 50 days that are remembered by the children of Israel, by the Israelites, by the Jewish people. They call them the days of counting the Omer. And what it was on those days, every day they would come up and sacrifice an Omer of barley. And the idea was it was preparing their minds for remembering the day that the Lord gave the law to Moses. And of course, it's no accident at all that then when God fulfills his promise to give the Spirit, he does it on the same day. He does it on the day of remembrance of the giving of the law, and then the giving of the Spirit as well. And it's wonderful to see these wee things. Or I certainly enjoy looking at them a lot more. Impressive than throwing bread and cheese in Gloucestershire. A lot more relevant. And of course they call it Whit Sunday, and there's debate as to why it's called Whit Sunday. The one I particularly like is because it was the day that God gave the church a bit of wit. And some people reckon that is what it is, that wit was that knowledge and understanding as opposed to being humour, but a bit of sense. And it was the day that God gave the Spirit of wisdom to the church, or the Spirit of a bit of wit to the church. There is other explanations as to why it's called Whit Sunday. But anyway, it's a day of celebration for the church. Not that we're particularly into celebrating, you know, specific days and stuff, But it's just really good to get our mind into the routine of celebrating the resurrection, celebrating the day of Pentecost. It continues that cycle, and that is what we're trying to do, the teaching and learning cycle, where for us as the leaders, we're constantly teaching and learning ourselves the whole cycle of God's ways, and we do it throughout the year going through the Apostles' Creed. Well, today, the day of Pentecost, is the day that Moses got his wish, and I thought I would go back to Moses and just read one verse. You don't even need to turn to it. It's Numbers chapter 11. What had happened was God had poured out a spirit on some elders, and a few other people got it almost by accident. And Joshua was a wee bit annoyed, and Joshua said, who'd been Moses' assistant since youth. This is Numbers chapter 11, by the way, verse 28. He'd been Moses' assistant since his youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them," because these guys had got the Holy Spirit almost by accident, were prophesying. And he was outraged by this and said, "Moses, stop them." And Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." So this is the day of Pentecost is the day that Moses got his wish. Because he wished, he didn't want to keep the joy of knowing God, the joy of being a friend of God and experiencing the Spirit of God. He didn't want to keep it for himself. And that's what Joshua sort of thought, he wanted to keep it within the confines of the important people. But no, Moses saw beyond that. He wanted everybody to know the Spirit of God. He wanted all God's people to have the Spirit of God. And that is, of course, what God did. And God promised that he would do. And I will read that back in Joel. This is because Moses saw that it would be good for all of God's people to receive God's Spirit. It's so that people like me could see visions, and people like Taddy could dream dreams. And if you know your Bible, you will appreciate that. Joel chapter 2, you'll find out in a minute. Joel chapter 2. Hard to find Joel, isn't it? There he is, just before Amos, just after Hosea. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "And afterwards," this is the Lord speaking, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls." That's the prophecy in Joel that we've heard already this morning. God making his promise that he was going to give the Spirit. So the Lord gave the law to the people, but then also said, just as Moses had wished, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." And the significance of this is, it doesn't matter who you are sitting here, whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're of high position, of low position, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're able, whether you're disabled, whether you're whatever position you're in, every single one of us must know the Lord was promising that he was going to pour out his Spirit on all people. So do not exclude yourself this morning. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you have received the Holy Spirit. And that is for a purpose and for a reason. It isn't just as a wee extra. It's because God wants to use you. God wants to continue work with you in your own life, but also through you in the life of other people. It is wonderful. Let's go forward to Luke chapter 24. Because we'll see that Jesus reiterates this promise. Well, I'll just read the one verse, verse 49. This is just before the ascension, when Jesus ascended into heaven. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. And we've just read in Joel where the Father promised this. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. This is 10 days probably before the day of Pentecost. Jesus rose from the dead. And well, it's probably not quite 10 days. Anyway, I'll not try to work it out on the hoof. 40 days he remained. He appeared to people after he rose from the dead. And then there was a short period of just over a week where they were like in limbo, because Jesus had ascended to heaven, but he hadn't sent the Spirit down again yet. And so for that week he was saying, remain where you are, stay and wait. Wait until you're empowered with the Spirit from on high. I'll read it again in Acts chapter 1 when Luke is describing it. I'll just read the first 8 verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And that was when Jesus said, wait. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For I baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that was what Tally was speaking on last week. And if you weren't here, listen to it online. About what he had to say about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now we're going to look at the power business in a minute, but first I want to look at the waiting business. And it's a topic that we hate to think about. Certainly I do. Waiting for God. You know, that must have been, in one sense, one of the most curious weeks for those disciples. They'd already gone through the trauma of the death, burial, and resurrection. The complete disappointment of the death. And then the complete joy of the resurrection. And then now they're going away, they're ascending up into heaven. And the promise of the Spirit, and not really quite knowing what was coming. It must have been an odd week. And they must have been thankful that it was only a week, because God can ask people to wait a heck of a lot longer than a week. I always think of the life of Moses. You know, he was 80 before his sort of day came. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in Midian as a shepherd. And then he started his job at the age of 80 to lead the people and deliver the people. So you can have to wait a long time. Of course, those were 40 years. It might be shorter, like when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, or a long period. Thankfully for the disciples, this was only just over a week they had to wait. But we don't like to wait. And why should we wait? It's sort of one question. You know, especially in today's world, why should we wait? We don't have to wait for anything. Everything should be at our fingertips. We give off. If I have to sit at that wee desk at McDonald's waiting for my drive-thru to come out, and it's more than about 20 seconds, you start thinking, call this fast food. You know, I want it now. But God doesn't work like that. God will very often ask us to wait, and we dislike it. But why would we wait? Well, Jesus said that he only did what he saw the Father doing. And the Father showed him what he was doing. And those were the things that Jesus did. He had that relationship with the Father, and he knew the Father because him and the Father were one. And Jesus then went on to say to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. And all of a sudden, here are these disciples, and he's just left. And so they're sitting for a week and a half in this position where they're without Jesus. And so, if Jesus was right, they can do nothing until the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, all of a sudden, Jesus was with them again. And they were in that relationship that, by the power of God's Spirit, they were seated with Jesus in heavenly places at the Father's right hand. And so they have that relation. The disciples now have that relationship with the Father, and they have that relationship with the Son, where they are all one by the power of God's Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that that wasn't the case for that week, but I'm just saying it was highlighted by the coming of God's Spirit so that they could live that life that they have been called to. Because without it, they could do nothing. Without it, they couldn't see what the Father was doing, so that they couldn't do those same things too. Without it, Jesus wasn't with them, and without Jesus, they could do nothing. The waiting was all important, because with the Spirit came the power of God from on high. It's the same for us today. Without God's Spirit, we don't have the ability to see God. We don't have that ability to receive the wisdom of God, because he is the Spirit that would bring wisdom and would bring power. And in certain aspect, I see the Spirit of wisdom as in the wisdom that God gives us is the ability to see God and who he is and what he is doing and how he works. And the power of God is the ability. When the Spirit gives us the power of God, it's the ability to walk that life that he has just shown us. The wisdom and the power of God. So let's look at the power of God. What's it the power for? Well, you could bring up some good biblical ideas. Well, it's the power to move mountains. It's the power to raise the dead. It's the power to cast out 1,000 demons from somebody. It is the power to do some fantastic miracles, like the walking on water, the feeding the 5,000, or whatever. That is the power of God. And very much in our minds, we equate that with the very pinnacle of the power of God. When we get to see those great things, like we maybe look back to the Old Testament and think of God parting the Red Sea for the people to walk through. And we think of that as the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? And I am not taken away from that this morning, because that is, those things are fantastic. And we shouldn't be surprised to see those, because that is what God promised the way back in Joel. That was part of what it was that we would see visions and dream dreams, and it would be accompanied with miraculous signs. But first and foremost, the power that comes from God is the power to walk. The power, as we have been looking, to walk the path to victory. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a few words about the power and the wisdom of God. Not new to us, but let's read from verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is the power of God. And in fact, I'm not going to read on, because we're a wee bit short of time this morning. You read it on in your own time. It's the message of the cross. Oh, there's one other bit I want to read. And I'm going to find out that it would be better just to read the whole passage by the time I'm reading it. Yes, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. Christ crucified. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified is the power of God. The message of the cross is the power of God. The message of the cross is the wisdom of God. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. So when we think of the wisdom of God, it should look like Christ crucified. It should look like the message of the cross. When we think of the power of God in our lives, it should be the power of Christ crucified. It should be the power of the message of the cross in our lives. And let me tell you, the passage goes on to tell us that the power of God looks weak. It looks like weakness. It's just like the wisdom of God looks like foolishness. We in the evenings are starting a new series looking at the life of Abraham. Well, I actually spoke on Noah last week. And these Old Testament characters, you see this at work. You see them looking foolish. Well, it turns out to be the wisdom of God. We see them looking weak, but it turns out to be the power of God. And it is a little insight in the Old Testament to what is coming. Christ crucified and the message of the cross. The path to victory looks like Christ crucified. To walk this path, and we've looked at the path, how it's a path full of suffering, it's a path that's full of pain and rejection, just like it was for Christ. But it's the path to victory. It's a path that leads through baptism, the death to the old self, and being raised to the new self. You have to be brave and courageous to die to yourself. You have to be brave and courageous to love, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. That is where the power of God is at work. The power, and I see it so evident. I work in the Woodlands Youth Justice Place, the prison for people under 18. And it's not that these people are any different from us. It's just that you see things more vividly in their environment. Because it's a bit, I suppose in a way, it's a bit like the sort of old reality TV, Big Brother, forcing people to live together. And it's seeing that at work in their everyday life. And they're really funny because, you know, if one person says something about somebody else, even if they never meet each other, the word quickly spreads. It's unbelievable. Word spreads and the hatred comes in. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to... And of course, it's not in such sweet language as that. But and you see it. And I will always observe it, or not always, but very often I'll observe it and think, you know, that is the easy response. And this is just a picture of it in our lives. That's the easy response. For them to be really brave and courageous would be for them not to let it bother them. I occasionally, with ones I get on well with, I share that with them. Oh, no chance! I'm going to knock out! And he goes on. And they think that is the bravest option. And they're being strong and mighty by going for the violence option. Whereas actually the hardest thing in the world for them to do would be to take the message of the cross into that situation, which is to lay down their lives for their enemies. And they don't have the power to do it. They're not. You know, that's the thing. We do not have the power to do that. And that is a picture. Don't see, because you don't want to knock anyone's block off, don't think that you're exempt from that picture. I see it in my life all the time, where I prove to myself I'm incapable of laying down my life for my enemies. I see it time and again where I'm selfish, where I want to preserve self as opposed to die to self. I see it all the time in my life where I don't have the power to walk the path to victory. And that is why I need to wait, and I need the Spirit of God in my life. Because it is only with the Spirit of God that we have the power of God from on high. First and foremost, it's only by the Spirit of God that we have the wisdom of God from on high. It's only by the Spirit of God that we see the whole thing in the first place. Ordinarily, we'll just get about our natural life and we will go about wanting not to forgive people. We'll go about wanting to not love people. We'll go about wanting to condemn people, wanting to criticize people, wanting to do all these things. But when God gives us the wisdom, his wisdom from on high, it comes by the Holy Spirit. And we get to see that actually the foolishness of God is his wisdom. And then as we receive power from on high, we're able to walk in that wisdom. We're able to walk in the path of love. We're able to walk in the path of Christ, the path to victory. We're able to walk in the message of the cross and be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It is only by being able to walk as Christ crucified, it is only being able to walk the path of the victory, the message of the cross, that we become his witnesses to this world. So you and me, as I finish, today is a day that we can celebrate. Because today is a day that we remember, and of course these are days that we should be remembering this every day. But sometimes we don't. Today we can do it especially. We can remember that this is the day that God gave us his law. And thank the Lord for his law. But today is the day that, as he promised he would do, that he poured out his Spirit. And not on one or two people, not just on Tally, Dave and Keith, not just on Rita who gets and stands up here and shares God's word too. Not just on the men in this place, not just on the young in this place, but God has poured out his Spirit on every single one of us. We can celebrate. We can celebrate that God has poured out his wisdom on us and that God has poured out his power on us, that we can walk the path to victory, the path of suffering, pain and rejection, and that as we grow as Christians, as we walk in the Spirit, that we can walk the life of Christ crucified by the power of God. God is true to form. I was just thinking this morning. God is true to form. When we were hopeless and helpless in our sin, what did he do? He gave himself. He gave Jesus. And then when we were incapable of following God, what does he do? He's true to form. He gives us himself in his Spirit. What a wonderful God we worship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have not held back. Lord, but you have given us everything. You have given us yourself. Lord, all the treasures of the world, all the treasures of heaven do not compare to what you have offered. Lord, you have offered your Son, you Lord, and then you have gone and offered your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you continue to pour out your Spirit of wisdom and power upon us. Lord, not just so that we can do wonderful things in the eyes of people, but Lord, so that we can see your path to victory. And Lord, so that we would have the power to walk in it, that we would display in our life the message of the cross, that we would display in our life Christ crucified and the love of God for your glory. Amen.